Trying to figure out why we would give the vaccine to our healthcare workers first. If something is wrong with the vaccine and it doesn't work properly, well, we could be in serious trouble without all of our healthcare workers. Why don't we instead give it to all the politicians? That way, if something does happen and something is wrong with the vaccine, well, we're not losing anything.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. From the University of Central Florida comes a new study about the combinations of different foods can change your saliva, literally alter it, so that you're less likely to throw out a COVID transmission if you are positive. It substantially reduces it. I'll get into that. It's very interesting. Which foods and herbs can alter that. And also, I assume that people are gargling if you're going to be around people, and if there's some question of the safety of that, then just take that old-fashioned, bitter-tasting Listerine. Now, I wouldn't use Listerine because I don't use anything with alcohol in it because it alters the natural flora, but you can rebalance that flora. But it destroys everything. You do it three times a day if you had to be around people, and you're really protecting yourself. Also, when traveling, make sure you spray colloidal silver around your mouth, in your mouth, every hour, and in your nostrils, the two ways it's likely to get in. Also, by the way, it can get through the mucus around your eyes. So wear glasses or something to protect your eyes. I have a plastic visor or a mask, and then I just pull my hat down over my head and chill out. Just a little advice. We also have some more information to show you how you can improve your immune system with zinc. In fact, not only is zinc good for your immune system, it improves in eliminating homocysteine. Who knew? I didn't know that. And oxidative stress. This University of Medical Sciences article published in the International Journal of Clinical Practice. Also, there was a short clip by just a mainstream Orthodox doctor. He does a nice little webinar, nothing controversial, but he took a look at zinc. And what he does, which is unique, is when he's giving his presentation, he has all of the data showing on a screen. So you see the journal, the authors, the peer review, and then you see that what he is saying is based upon real quality science. And we're going to show you one today on zinc. I didn't select it initially, but our office in New York and Jesse has it. So let's put that up today, too, because it goes into zinc and COVID. And it's the zinc, more than the vitamin C, quercetin, and vitamin D, that actually kills the viruses. Oh, and by the way, I hope that you're using also the one nutrient that a lot of people haven't used, that is strongly antiviral, and I've been recommending it to people for decades, and that is L-lysine, L-Y-S-I-N-E. So in any case, we're going to talk about that. Also, can you lose weight? Yes, you can, but you're going to have to strengthen your microbiome, micro, M-I-C-R-O, biome, B-I-O-M-E. In lay language, your good bacteria in the gut. And that will independently impact your BMI, body mass index. And there's actually a genetic capacity of the gut microbiome to help you lose weight. So, this is from the Institute of Systems Biology. So we have a lot to share. Good information, science-based. Everything I share with you, you can find in the peer-reviewed scientific literature. But also, I'm going to have Glenn Greenwald today, an outstanding reporter, investigative journalist, raise an issue. Now, I'm trying to connect all the dots to let you see this is a larger issue that for the last 4 years, all the mainstream media lied, knowingly lied, as did Adam Schiff and other members of Congress, lied about Russia's role in the election. Now, I really don't care who people vote for. It's irrelevant in the long term because everyone is bad. There are no good people as president. Even Eisenhower had his faults, and Truman was just a mess. And you'd have to go way back to find someone that really was a populist president. So that's why I don't tell people vote for this person. I don't. It's your right. But I will tell you this. When everyone in a group agrees to the same talking points and the same attacks, then to me, they've lost all credibility. And what is the likelihood that they would be honest about it? Everything else, but only lie about this. Conspire with others on this, but not conspire on misinformation about COVID or Afghanistan. So Glenn Greenwald gives us his insights on that. So that'll be interesting to hear what he has to say, and then you can respond on that. Additionally, today, I have so many things to share. I want to get right to it. But we're going to take another look at the Chinese work on the virus and what are called breakthrough cases, meaning you were fully vaccinated. You were told that you would be protected if you took these. And we were talking about 95% efficacy. Turns out to be 1% in the absolute efficacy. But they didn't use that figure. But also today, I'm going to show you what the FDA knew, because it's on their site. And we photocopied it, and I'm posting it, and I'm going to read from it today. I'm going to read all of the side effects of the vaccine that didn't make it into the package insert. So how could you have informed consent if at least 30 different side effects, including death and Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a paralysis much like polio, none of those are on there? So we're going to play that. And also, there is a hospital administrator. He is anonymous. He's on a program being interviewed. And you've got to hear what he says, because this takes us back to when a small group of us were fighting for your doctor to have the freedom of choice to discuss with informed consent alternative therapies for cancer patients. And any doctor who did not agree along with the state medical board's guidance, which was the AMA's guidance, you were disbarred. Or not disbarred, but you lost your license. So now they're doing it again. Listen carefully what he has to say. Every doctor in America and in Canada has received the same three different letters, all from official sources in Washington, saying you cannot use ivermectin, you cannot use hydroxychloroquine because it doesn't work. That's a lie. That is a pathological lie, and I will prove it today by sharing the actual hundreds and hundreds of peer-reviewed publications with tens of thousands of patients and thousands of scientists in those studies, all published in peer-reviewed journals, showing they're lying. If I can find that, why can't the New York Times? Why can't the state medical board? Because they're all corrupt. And I don't have time today, but tomorrow we're going to have on someone who, in her hospital, working, she was so frustrated by what we're seeing. She was seeing all these people come in with serious side effects, including dying from the vaccines. These were all people who had the vaccines. And the hospital wasn't reporting any of these. So, nobody wants to know how bad the vaccines are. So, all over the country, people having adverse effects of vaccines, they're on their own. So, today, Richard Gale is coming on, and he's going to show us how bad is it. And we're going to give you their numbers, not mine, their numbers. And remember, Harvard University showed that only about 1% of adverse effects and deaths are reported. So the number you're going to hear today is staggering. Why is it that not a single major media, not the New York Times and the Dancing Clowns at CNN and all the other media, not Rachel Maddow, nobody is giving you these figures or inviting the victims on to share their stories? Well, we are a program that believes in being a voice for the voiceless. So you're going to hear all this today. And we begin with health. What they found at the University of Central Florida, and a professor there, a couple professors actually, is that when people sneeze and cough There's an element in the saliva that disperses and affect microcrystallizes going on in the air. These are airborne pathogens. And these are what can infect you with any kind of disease that happens to be in the person's body. So their idea was, can we thicken these and reduce a person's saliva, thus decreasing the transmission potential of airborne pathogens? And the answer is yes. Now, I remember at the Institute of Applied Biology, one person would get sick downstairs, and then they would all be sick. And they had a lot of different sterilizing processes involved. And they had the blue lights around all the doors and inside. They had wands that were killing off bacteria on all the surface areas. But they didn't, I guess, understand that when you sneeze, the particulate matter can go up to 30 feet. Now, that is at that level, it's like taking a water jug and just spraying it, and you get a little mist like you do on flowers. Well, this article in Nature Scientific Reports showed that you want to thicken that up. And this was done in the Department of Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering. So, okay, a mask, if it is a filter, a real fine filtering mask, will still not be able to filter the size of the particulate matter. And it's just a matter of physics, just plain physics. Stop with all this childish, immature, absolutely insane idea that wearing the mask that most people wear, you're going to stop the coronavirus. That will do no such thing, and there's no science on earth to prove it. I've looked at all the science. Let me give you an example, and I can quote, and will. I have the actual articles. I'm posting them on Garinaut.com. As one of the scientists involved simply said, imagine that the virus is 5,000 times smaller than the masks that people are wearing to stop that. So that's like putting up a big chain link fence and expecting the mosquitoes to stay out. Well, sorry, the mosquitoes can get through those. So then anything else that can complement that is important. So here's what they did. They found out that there are certain ingredients that if you consume them, could thicken up the mucus and lessen the particulate, because the larger the particle of saliva, the less likely it is to get through the masks, unless you're wearing like an N99 mask. And that's what they found. And here they have ingredients, but there's only one ingredient that I would recommend. Some of the other ingredients like agar, cornstarch, xanthan gum, I wouldn't. But ginger I will recommend, and in fact, here's what they say, quote, ginger reduced the amount of saliva expelled from a sneeze by more than 80% and was as effective as a mask in reducing the distance of droplets and aerosols from a sneeze. That's good. That's very good. So, just something that we didn't know. Now, zinc is something that most people don't take. They should. Because it is just one of these wonderful things. Well, now there's new information showing that zinc will lower your really dangerous homocysteine marker. This is a biomarker of oxidative stress. And if you have an elevated homocysteine, let's say 15, 16, 17, it could double or triple your opportunity to get a heart attack or stroke. So it lowers homocysteine. Now, zinc is a macro mineral. I recommend at this time 30 milligrams a day, unless you're a person suffering with COVID or has been exposed or around people, in which case I would go to 50 milligrams. Now remember, oxidative stress occurs when oxidants and antioxidants are imbalanced, resulting in an increase in reactive oxygen species, ROS. The greater the ROS production overwhelms your body's capacity to overcome their adverse effects. That results in the risk of chronic disease risk. Homocysteine is an amino acid that increases oxidative damage in the body when elevated above a normal level. High homocysteine levels are really dangerous. They're linked to cardiovascular disease, stroke, and Alzheimer's disease. And when you look at a meta-analysis of 18 separate studies of 1,187 participants, then you find that zinc was the modulator And they found zinc is associated with an important acid in the body, and that it can help lower the homocysteine level. Who knew? Now you do. And also, from the Institute of Systems Biology, they looked at 105 people who participated in a consumer wellness program, and what they wanted to do is see what role probiotics could have in changing the gut microbiome and helping you lose weight. And they found that indeed that was the case. So here's the takeaway message. Have probiotics. Have something that is naturally fermented in your body each day. That will be terrific for you. All right? It can help you lose weight. Also, men with anxiety, you're more likely to die of cancer. Cambridge University and their Institute of Public Health did this study. Men over 40 who are plagued with the omnipresent generalized anxiety are more than twice as likely to die of cancer than are men who do not have that kind of mental attitude where everything is stressed. Of course, you look at all the things that can stress you, and you certainly understand why a lot of people are stressed. But if you can't change the circumstances that surround you, then change your surroundings. Occam's razor. Cut through the fat. And what does it mean? It means that in most cases, the most obvious correct answer is the simplest. We just make everything too convoluted. So just something to think about. All right? And these findings were presented at the European College of Neuropharmacology's Congress in Vienna. They looked at 15,938 Britons, and they found if you're always stressed, if you're always dealing with anxiety, you are 215% more likely to die of cancer than if you had better ways of dealing with stress. Hence, exercise, stress management techniques like meditation, drumming, tapping, listening to music, writing, journal writing, prayer, they all work. But just getting upset about everything, carrying it with you throughout the day, not good. All right? Cholesterol drives Alzheimer's plaque formation, a new study found from the University of Virginia. By the way, cholesterol is also manufactured not just in the liver, but is manufactured in the brain and appears to play a key role in development of Alzheimer's disease. Scientists at the University of Virginia School of Medicine found that cholesterol produced by cells called astrocytes that is required for controlling the production of amyloid beta, that's that sticky protein that builds up in the brains of patients with dementia, the protein accumulates into insoluble plaques that are a hallmark of the disease. And many efforts have been targeted to help remove those plaques. Well, we know you can remove those plaques. You can dissolve them over time. There's a lot to do on that. I will be doing a classroom on the air to help people with dementia and Alzheimer's to show you how you can do that, just like you can unclog your arteries. We've done that many times. But just be aware that cholesterol, which is often associated with clogged arteries and heart disease, it plays important roles in the healthy body. The body makes cholesterol naturally so it can produce hormones and carry out other important functions. The new discovery from the collaborators just simply says that you better keep your cholesterol within a normal range, and otherwise you can end up with those plaques in the brain, and nobody wants those. And finally, from Monash University in Australia, greenery is one of the secrets to slowing the biological aging process. So we all know being surrounded by greenery is good for the mind and soul, but can it be good for the body too? So planetary health researchers at Monash University School of Public Health and Preventive Medicine found that, yes, indeed, that is the case, and especially for women. In a world's first, they've shown a link between the amount of plant life in a person's immediate environment and slower biological aging based upon changes in the DNA methylation. So that's important. This is published in the peer-reviewed journal Environmental Health Perspectives. So whenever possible, bring green into your life. Bring plants into your apartment or home. Have gardens. Go to gardens. Go into places where you can be around nature. That's the takeaway message. We are 21 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to hear from Glenn Greenwald. And only about 5 minutes. We're going to hear from many people today. But I want you to think about what he is saying. Remember, there was a time when every week on Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow, you would see either Jonathan Turley, Matt Taibbi, Glenn Greenwald, Chris Hedges, Abby Martin, Max Blumenthal. None of them now are anywhere to be found or quoted in any of the liberal media. And that's because, as many people in this audience knows, the corporate Democrat group around Clinton Obama that control virtually all the power in Washington of all the agencies and the media, they started to push real liberals and progressives out. And first it was just excluding, but then it was warning, and finally it was attacking. The truth was irrelevant. Maintaining power and the official narrative was everything. Oh, and by the way, there's a reporter from Australia that I just looked at something this morning that she has done. She's just done the most definitive work on where the Wuhan virus came from, and she has uncovered at least 60, that's 60 studies funded by Anthony Fauci in China, and many of them working with the Chinese defense, their military. And she has the actual reports and studies on this, and yet he never told anyone at any time that he was funding this and why. So now it's being uncovered. Oh, and by the way, remember The Lancet published over a year ago, the article saying if anyone talks about anything other than a natural evolution of the virus, they're engaged in conspiracy theories. Guess who just published a rebuttal to that? The Lancet, calling out Anthony Fauci. Yeah, so you see, their house of cards is crumbling. And that's good, because we all want to survive COVID. Any reasonable person realizes that you're dealing with a deadly virus, and now it's variants, but everything they're doing is wrong, and they're causing death. To give you an idea, I'll let Richard Gale tell you how many people are dying and why that should be important for you to understand, or injured, and that's important. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Just a little bit longer. Please, 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 please tell them who you're going to. Now how your daddy don't mind and your mommy don't mind if we have another dance, yeah, just the one more.
Everyone, it's Glenn Greenwald back with a new episode of System Update exclusively on Rumble, and I'm back in order to discuss some major news regarding the U.S.'s last drone strike in Afghanistan on August 29th, which they claimed at the time killed two critical ISIS planners on their way to Kabul airport who were planning to detonate a bomb, and that they didn't think there were any civilian casualties. And the breaking news is something that ought to have been obvious at the time, and yet most media figures simply ignored. The breaking news is that they lied and admit they lied, that in fact they killed no ISIS planners, no ISIS terrorists with that drone strike, but instead extinguished a family of 10 people, including the person they aimed at, who was simply moving water bottles around, and therefore, contrary to their claims, there was no secondary explosions caused by the bombs carried by these terrorists, as they originally claimed as well. Here's Pentagon spokesman John Kirby earlier today explaining and admitting that they lied.
I'm not going to relitigate the past statements here. As General McKenzie mentioned, every leader in the department that spoke to this in the moment that it was spoken to was speaking to you in good faith based on the information that we had. And that includes me, by the way. Things that I said, obviously, have not turned out to be correct.
Now, he, of course, is saying, look, I didn't lie. We didn't lie. We told you the truth at the time. But as you're going to see, they were incredibly definitive. They were saying they knew for a fact they had killed ISIS terrorists, that they knew for certain that that was true. And yet it turned out it was completely false. Either they were utterly reckless and therefore shouldn't be trusted, or they were deliberately lying and therefore shouldn't be trusted. And what's amazing about this is that there was all the reason in the world to be highly skeptical of their claims from the start, in part because that's what journalists do. We're skeptical of government claims that are presented without evidence, not mindlessly ratifying them, but also because they've told similar lies over and over and over for the last 20 years. They shoot a missile at people they don't even know who they're killing, and then they claim that they're terrorists or militants, and the media goes and simply repeats it as if it's true without an ounce of skepticism. And that's what the media did here as well in the initial aftermath of this drone strike. Watch how they basically acted as White House spokespeople, stenographers, telling the country, you can breathe a sigh of relief, you should be happy, we just took out two ISIS terrorists, even though they had no idea if it was true. Here's, as just one example, NBC Nightly News, the most watched news broadcast in the country, or second most, with millions and millions of people watching. Watch how they conveyed what happened.
After 5 p.m. local time, as the sun was starting to set over Kabul, the U.S. military says it carried out a drone strike against an ISIS-K vehicle heading for the airport. The drone tracked the white car as it drove through this residential neighborhood just west of the airport, and the strike happened around 2 miles from the perimeter. U.S. Central Command says the vehicle was packed with explosives and posed an imminent threat. When it was hit, those bombs went off and caused significant secondary explosions. You can see this happened right next to houses, and there are reports that an Afghan child was killed in the blast. The U.S. military says it's looking into that, but has no indications at this time of civilian casualties. No U.S. personnel were injured, and this doesn't appear to have had any impact on the evacuation effort. President Biden did warn last night that an attack was highly likely. But just because this plot appears to have been thwarted doesn't mean the danger to U.S. troops is over. The White House has said all along that the most dangerous hours of this operation would be the final hours ahead of Tuesday's deadline for withdrawal.
You hear that propaganda, that outright propaganda? First of all, he says, oh, there's reports that one Afghan child was killed, but he hastens to add that Pentagon denies that. In fact, seven.
There was a time when individuals who held a liberal perspective held an arm's length from the official deep state, the CIA, the national security agencies. They would not hobnob, socialize, or lecture before the Council on Foreign Relations or the Business Roundtable. They did not actively promote the interest of the internet providers, Google and Facebook. They did not praise the accuracy of, let's say, Wikipedia. No, they did their job, and then they didn't. And those who did were excluded, including the man you just heard, Glenn Greenwald. So here is my question, and I'd like you, as a thoughtful audience, to call in and share your point of view. If they lied to us about this one episode, and all during the Obama administration they lied, and when a drone pilot went public as a whistleblower, the entire machine came down on him, Obama. Obama then allowed no whistleblower to go unscathed, and yet every whistleblower, Chelsea Manning, Edward Snowden, Julian Assange, they all were telling the truth. They presented honest, accurate information about the crimes of the government against peoples, including the American people. So listen carefully. For telling the truth about excesses and crimes against humanity, they were punished. The people who committed the crimes against humanity, including Barack Obama and George Bush and Hillary and Bill Clinton and Donald Trump and all the rest of them and Joe Biden, they're rewarded by praise. Not a single negative story about them. What does that tell you? And yet now, the same media outlet, many of the same governmental agencies are telling you that there's a threat. We must create a new third world war around China. Why? Because they say they're experts, they're intelligence agency, but they've done nothing but lie since their inception, from the very beginning. So we should believe anything they have to say? I'm sorry, I find that incredulous. 888-874-4888 is our call-in number. 888-874-4888. Rich Gale standing by. We're going to give you some shocking figures and put them in proper context. And we are the only source in the media that will give you these figures, both deaths and injuries. And these are grossly underestimated. Gross underestimation. And what does that say? Because you will not see any of the people who've been victimized by the vaccines. Now, I'm not pro or anti you getting a vaccine. That's what you're going to do based upon being informed in your choices. And that's why the number one group of educated people are PhDs, because they're critical. They can think in critical ways. They're looking for the truth. Have these been proven safe or effective? And the answer is no and no. And that's absolutely irrefutable. Until this study is over, until another 2 years from now when all the results are in, then you have no way of knowing that this should be recommended. But we're finding an awful lot of problems that no one told us would exist. So we're going to look at that. I also want to give a shout out. We have a lot of remarkable people listening to this program, and in their own ways, they try to share what they find of value to others, and that helps. Word of mouth, it spreads. But one person in particular, his name is Jim Payne, P-A-Y-N-E, and he's been listening to this program for over 40 years, up now in North Canada. And he is a vegan. He's 80 years of age. He is out there doing the rough stuff off the grid. He's in vital health because he lives on a good, healthy, plant-based diet. And he shares information that he gets on this show. So today is his birthday. So Jim, if you're listening, good for you. Because even though you're chronologically 80, you're probably about 45 to 50 biological. And that's good that you're out there. So keep it going. Share the insights. All right? Now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear something you have not heard or seen. You can watch this by going to prn.fm, scrolling down Gary's notes, because I give you tons of documents, tons of notes. And by the way, I don't have time today, but tomorrow I'm going to play you a clip from a lawyer in North Carolina who is really brilliant, and he's giving you the law. If you live, in Pennsylvania. If you live in Pennsylvania, a lot of people listening do. He's showing you why the state does not have the authority to fire you if you don't get the vaccine, nor to make it mandatory. He's done his homework. And so I'm getting other lawyers who've done the similar homework in other states, and I'm going to be posting all of their information, form letters, et cetera, for you to be able to help yourself. So we're going to hear about a letter that's going to every doctor in America, every hospital in America, making an effect against medical law to treat someone with very beneficial and absolutely proven drugs, two drugs in particular, and hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. You'll hear that in just a moment.
I understand your anonymity request, and we're going to honor that. So you work in healthcare administration. You've received these letters. Take us through this. So HCQ and ivermectin, specifically banned. Doctors can't prescribe treatment that they feel would best suit their patients.
That's right, Stu. We're seeing that both in writing from the Federation of State Medical Boards, which govern medical boards in each of our states, which is where physicians' licenses are held or revoked across the country. And so they've said that spreading any misinformation or disinformation is ground for suspension or revocation of the medical license. Health systems are struggling financially. When they struggle financially, oftentimes the virtuous cycle gets replaced with a vicious one. And today the vicious economic cycle forces our health systems to sort of toe the line, because we're seeing it from Washington and everywhere else. And so in addition to boards threatening physician licensure, which is their linchpin to their livelihood, we're also seeing that come from the health systems as well, because DC has said this isn't safe.
So in looking at the letter, the issuer of this letter doesn't seem to really want to nail down what specifically they define as mis or disinformation. How dangerous is that?
Exactly. I mean, being specifically vague doesn't help anyone, right? But it leaves them open for lots of latitude on how they want to determine whether you're providing care within their supposed guidelines. Of course, they will always change. So it's hard to put that down. On the same token, to say you spread misinformation or disinformation with no definition, but if you do that, you will be up for revocation or suspension of your license and you'll be out of practice.
Well, this is a way that they can just blanket target everybody that they just don't like. If they don't respect your political opinion, if they don't believe that you should have the right to make choices after your own health on your own, or what's best for your family after the research that you've done, personal accounts, things that you've witnessed, things in the news, that they could just target anybody that they want to. So the ban on ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, in your opinion, is that going to cause a lot of death?
Absolutely. I think we know, we've seen lots of data that suggests there's lots of potential benefit and sort of documented benefit, but there also is also documented very little harm or risk, but it's been silenced. We do know of physicians who are actually actively under investigation by the board for having prescribed ivermectin. And that's really a disservice. Now that physician and others like that person are now really sitting with, a gag order on them, and their ability to practice is hindered because they've got someone looking over their shoulder every second of the day. They can't do what they think is in the best interest of their patient, which is really the ethics of medicine, right? First, do no harm.
So I'm just trying to wrap my head around this, Steve. A doctor who prescribed what they thought was best for their patient, in accordance with their Hippocratic Oath, prescribed ivermectin. That doctor has now been warned or advised that disciplinary action is imminent, and they have been gagged, prohibited from telling anybody about this?
Right. So they're under investigation by the board. They're having to take lots of spare time that they have, which of course they don't have, to prepare their position statement to defend themselves back to the board on their use of that medication. And it's totally appropriate that they chose to do that. That's really been their oath, to do the best for their patients. And they have the prescribing authority to do so, or at least they did. And then now when you see that the language in these documents says, if you spread misinformation, which of course, talking about ivermectin as a possible source of success for you if you become COVID positive or want to prevent, would now be up for disciplinary action, including suspension or revocation of your license. They would treat it as unethical or unprofessional conduct.
You work in hospital administration or healthcare administration. So specifically, you manage the goings on the business side of healthcare. Is that correct? Is that an accurate statement?
Correct. I've spent the last 3 decades of my life running physician practices and hospital practices as well.
Okay.
Okay. By the way, his wife is also a medical doctor, and he runs the hospital. And now he's in a situation where patients getting better, lives being saved using these combinations, a combination of drugs, natural to the patient's needs, meaning the doctor has made an evaluation to treat the patient early and to treat them vigorously using zinc, vitamin C, vitamin D3, very important, also selenium and hydroxychloroquine in a lower dose, around 200 milligrams, and anywhere from 6 to 12 milligrams a day of hydroxychloroquine. We've seen thousands of cases reversed, where in some doctors have said, I have their tapes, that not a single patient has gone to the hospital once they started on these early protocols. Anthony Fauci was responsible for saying no treatment of any kind at all. No vitamin, no drug, nothing, until such time as you get into the, are so sick you have to go into the ICU and get on a ventilator. That's proven. That is irrefutable. So tens of thousands of doctors in the United States and hundreds of thousands around the world and whole states and countries, whole countries are using ivermectin. And guess what? The largest single group in the world, 240 million people living in one state of the 16 states in India, that's two-thirds of the American population, giving them ivermectin prophylactically, no COVID, none, no COVID deaths. How is that? As an example, but there are more examples. I have a clip that I'm going to play. I don't know, Jesse, if you can bring up the clip, please. It's only about 30 seconds long. It's a woman, the health provider. I don't know if she's the director of health I'm not sure which country, but she opens up a package that every citizen can get. And she says, here's what we give our citizens to prevent COVID. Aspirin, well, that will prevent blood clots. And we know that microclotting is a major cause of causing the lungs to no longer function. Vitamin C at 500 milligrams. Vitamin D3 at 2,000 milligrams. Also zinc at 50 milligrams. And ivermectin. That's what she's giving. And boom, down go the cases in the whole country. So Richard Yale's on the line now. We're going to bring Richard into this. And Richard, here's what we have found concerning what they're trying to ban. They say there's no studies. They say there's no good studies. They say there's no peer review studies. They say it's dangerous. There has to be a big clinical study, which they know would take 3 to 5 years. In point of fact, we have found the following. And we have all these you can go to. These all come from PubMed. 344 studies, 250 of which are peer-reviewed, have been conducted specifically for COVID-19. 281 studies have been clinical trials that involve 4,583 scientists, almost 5,000 scientists, and over 407,627 patients. What did they find? 64% improvement in 31 early treatment trials. 75% improvement in 13 early stage infection treatment mortality results, meaning it kept people from dying. 21% improvement in 190 late stage infections. So even when a person was in the hospital, there was still 21% of that that could prevent those people from going further, and 23% improvement in 44 randomized controlled trials. That's just for hydroxychloroquine, which they want to ban. Then you have ivermectin. 131 studies, 52 peer-reviewed, have been conducted on COVID-19. 63 have been clinical trials that involve 613 scientists and 26,398 patients. 58% improvement in 31 randomized controlled trials. 86% improvement in 14 prophylaxis trials. 86%. So let's focus on that for a moment. You have 14 separate trials involving thousands of patients. Now, if you could prevent 86% of those people from getting COVID and ending up sick and going to the hospital, think of the lives you've saved. Millions. 72% improvement in 27 early-stage infection trials. 40% improvement in late-stage, 22 late-stage infection treatment trials. 58% improvement in 25 mortality results, meaning they saved 58% of people who would otherwise have died. Now, there are other inexpensive, repurposed FDA-approved drugs for SARS, too. Fluvoxamine, 88% improvement in early treatment, 29% improvement in late-stage treatment, 63% improvement in all 7 peer-reviewed studies. But then you say, well, vitamin D, and there's no studies. Well, yes, there is. There are 101 studies in the Library of Medicine, PubMed. All right, these are peer-reviewed studies with 875 scientists involved in those studies. 63 studies showed sufficiency in 34,863 patients. 33 trials with 48,860 patients and 42% improvement in 33 treatment trials. Just by itself, with vitamin D, 42% improvement in 33, 56% improvement in 68 sufficiency trials, 55% improvement in 19 treatment mortality results. In contrast, there have been 21 studies enrolling 35,744 patients in remdesivir trials. That's Anthony Fauci's drug that has no science backing it, its efficacy and safety. And so here we have all these other curcumin, 71% improvement in four studies. Black cumin-cetyl, three studies with 84% improvement. Quercetin, four studies, 76% improvement. Aspirin, seven studies with 37% improvement. Melatonin, seven studies with 62% improvement. And probiotics, five studies with 42% improvement. Combine all that together and think of why they wouldn't want any of this offered, because you wouldn't need the vaccines. You wouldn't need remdesivir, their killing drug. You wouldn't need any of that. This is all politics all the time. Richard Gale. Nice to have you with us today, Richard.
Yes, Gary.
Are you there? Richard, tell us the statistics. I can hear you. Richard, we don't have a lot of time, and we're going to say goodbye to BAI in 2 minutes, but we're going to continue the top of the hour. Tell us what you have found looking at the actual data per country, and only a few countries, how many people have been injured and how many people have died, and let's give that in a comparison to other events to show you how serious this is. And none of this is being reported by any of the media whatsoever.
Okay, very quickly. Let me just first give you a couple figures, people to keep that just in mind. Let's just look at just how many deaths were there during combined, and we're speaking American soldier deaths in Korean War and Vietnam. So together that's 84,000. And even I think more telling would be how many injuries. And let's throw World War II into the picture. So Korean War, Vietnam War, World War II, combined injuries reported were just over 1 million. So we can remember that figure. Nice, easy figure to go look at. Okay. So now let's take a look at what the governments are reporting. And let me say it's across the world where countries are actually making public the data on injuries and deaths due to the vaccines. It's all skewed. And just very simply, if you were, after I mentioned some of these statistics to you, I hope you might be able to realize that perhaps if you want to reduce your risks on getting the vaccine, COVID vaccine, it might depend upon what passport you hold. So I just like to state that. So if we look at, I use the European Union as a baseline, because the European Union really, because there's so many countries involved, it's more transparent, the way the reporting system is, it's far more complex than any other individual country. So here we're looking at just over 24,000 deaths and 2.3 million injuries so far from the vaccines. Half of those that have been ruled as serious, meaning they could have been life-threatening, required hospitalization, emergency room visits. So one in two of the injuries have been serious enough to require some kind of medical attention. Let's take a look at the United States. Here we're only reporting, having given about the same number of doses, we're only reporting 701 injuries and only 15,000 deaths. And we're reporting only 105 serious life-threatening, meaning one in seven of injuries are serious or life-threatening. I can go through all the different countries, and you're going to just, there's these discrepancies throughout. England's a really funny one, and I went into their yellow card reporting system because they've given 85 million doses. They're reporting 360 injuries. They stopped reporting deaths altogether, but we go back to February months ago, only like 2 months after the vaccines were started, they were reporting 243,000 injuries and 460 deaths. But think that, consider that's only 100,000 more injuries. What happened to all the other injuries if there is actually some kind of statistical significance with the increase in number of doses since February? Brazil has reported 32,000 deaths. I mentioned the U.S. Canada is just not reporting hardly anything. And they're not listing. They've given 55 million doses. They're making the claim that they're 94% of the vaccine injuries were not serious. They're just minor. So that, how does that fit in with what we're seeing from in the European Union?
Lying.
And let me put this. The last one is Israel. To just mention, because that's the most heavily reported or vaccinated country in the world, and the Israeli company, Israel, is only reporting 45 deaths total, and yet the independent Israeli People Committee, which people have to know about, but they're trying to get asked people, you know, report, you know, your vaccine injuries and deaths, and they're reporting that they've got confirmation from people of 288 reported deaths, but the health ministry is only reporting 45. And you could just go through all the countries all together, and to just add these all up, we're looking at 72,000 deaths, which is almost the number of American soldiers killed in the Korean War and Vietnam. And all total with the injuries, we're looking at 3.4 million injuries of Korean War, Vietnam, World War II, which is
combined.
I mean, that's combined compared to
combined.
What happened in those wars of just 1 million.
Okay, Richard, thank you for that. There's also a Dr. Eddie Bergerman, B-E-T-T-E-R-M-A-N, medical doctor, board certified, who sent over a report. A Detroit TV station asked for stories of unvaccinated COVID fatalities. They got bombarded with vaccinated deaths and injuries instead. Here's what he said. Quote, a local ABC affiliate in Detroit recently sent out to try to prove that those refusing to get vaccinated for the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, are the ones getting sick and dying. What was revealed instead is that the fully vaccinated are the ones perishing. In a Facebook poll, WXYZ-TV asked followers to share any stories they might have about how unvaccinated people they know are falling ill and having to be hospitalized for the Chinese germs. Instead, the poll was flooded with stories about people who took the vaccine becoming seriously ill or dying not long after getting the vaccine. After the vaccines were available to everyone, did you lose an unvaccinated loved one to COVID-19, the poll asked, if you're willing to share your family story? Well, here's what happened. They were flooded with stories about people who just said that they were vaccinated and that it was a huge mistake. How many? 125,000. 125,000 submitted similar comments about being fully vaccinated and ending up with serious side effects or death in their family or loved ones who took this. None of this was shared on television. None of it. And yet the station continued with 11 times more people likely to die who are unvaccinated. That is an out-and-out proven lie. The super spreaders today are the vaccinated. That is what the science is showing. And everything that we predicted would happen as side effects is now happening. So they're not giving the fact the government doesn't want these studies. They want to ban all of this information. That's just how it is, unfortunately. And tomorrow we will have a woman on who works in a hospital, and she heard so many horror stories, saw so many horror stories, she began to secretly film it. And you're going to see a doctor explaining how a young teenager who was vaccinated and came in and suddenly went into all kinds of cardiac problems. And she said, we can't help this person. We have to get an outside cardiologist. And we can't use the drugs. But the woman says, but when we use ivermectin, they get better. I know, but we can't tell anyone that. We have to hide this information. So the cover-up going on in that hospital You could imagine how many other places, because doctors are afraid of telling people that they're using anything that could cause them to lose their license, were being lied to at every turn. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.